Our reading today is from Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9. That's on page 12 of your Bibles. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a place in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. They then said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is God's word.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. If we've not met, my name is Matt Fuller. I'm the vicar here. And there'll be one or two other changes taking place, just this little bit of reordering at the front of church in the month of August and perhaps into September, depends how it goes. As well as the organ finding a new home. Actually, 25th birthday present for CCM. We'll be 25 years old in a few months as a church. And so we're getting new chairs, which may not excite you. Oh, okay, yeah, woo! Which may or may not excite you. If you're ever involved in shifting the chairs around, you'll be pretty delighted by that, because they've become somewhat lethal in their serrated edges over 25 years, and they've lost a bit of puff to them. So we're getting those. And we're saying, hey, do you want to buy a chair? In fact, do you want to think in terms of hospitality and get a seat for someone else? And if you wanted to, you could click through the QR code. It's also by the door. And hopefully a good number of the chairs that are being ordered, we the congregation will contribute towards them. Now, if you don't buy one, it's okay. We won't make you sit on the floor. One or two have asked, I think I said this before, but one or two have said, can we have a name plaque on them? No. No, well, you can, or you can have treasure in heaven. That's the deal. And choose the latter. That's much better for you. But they've been ordered, and one or two other things will take place. Bit of movement here. Eventually, the speakers will be on wires, all sorts of very unexciting but quite useful things in the scheme of things. Let me pray, and then we'll look at something which is more exciting, which is the Word of God. Our great God and Father, here is a strange story to us. And we pray that you'd help us understand it, understand what it was that humanity got so wrong, what it was that you wanted to achieve by scattering humanity across this planet. Father, help us, not just so we understand their mistakes back then, because we're the same. We can make the same mistakes, and we want to be those who honor you, who love Jesus by obeying him. So help us be those sort of people, we pray. Move us there, we ask. In his name. Amen. Amen. Now, what is going on in this story? So it is a slightly strange story. Is it a familiar story? I don't know. Most people use the word Babel. Why are you babbling about? Of course, that comes from here. Babel, as the language is confused, and Babel literally means confusion. But what's going on here? Is God just really opposed to the construction industry? Is he a divine NIMBY? He just says, not in my backyard. Is he the sort of person that Angela Rayner needs to take on to get a few more houses built in the UK? No. No, that's not what's going on. Does he want people to misunderstand one another? Verse 7, let us confuse their languages so they will not understand one another. Is this divine approval for my inability to ever conquer another foreign language perfectly well? No, speaking languages is a good thing. The essential issue here is mankind building for their own glory. That is the problem in Genesis chapter 11. Mankind building for their own glory. And there's something about buildings which very literally sort of has that sense to it. So still, I think just about the tallest building in the world is Burj Khalifa. And if you've been to Dubai, kind of that's the attraction, with apologies to those from Dubai. There it is in all its tallness. And you can go up and it's sort of you pay your money and you go up and you go, oh, look, there's lots of sand around Dubai, and that's worth every penny. But if you do go, and when you queue up, it has extraordinary claim on the wall as you're standing in the queue before you get in the elevators to go up. It's amazing. I am the power that lifts the world's head proudly skyward, surpassing limits and expectations, rising gracefully from the desert and honoring the city with a new glow. I am an extraordinary union of engineering and art, with every detail carefully considered and beautifully crafted. Oh, golly. I am the life force of collective aspirations and the aesthetic union of many cultures. I stimulate dreams, stir emotions, and awaken creativity. I am the magnet that attracts the wide-eyed tourist, eagerly catching their postcard moment, the center for the world's finest shopping. Well done. Dining and entertainment and home for the world's elite. You're welcome to them. I am the heart of the city and its people, the marker that defines Emaar's ambition and Dubai's shining dream. More than a moment in time, I define moments for future generations. I am Burj Khalifa. No, you're not. You're an inanimate object. What are you talking about? Who's written this drivel? It's quite a claim, isn't it? I stir the emotions. I lift humanity's head. I am amazing. Well, you're a building. But someone thought it would be worth celebrating in those terms. There's something impressive about building, a tallest building in the world. You get overtaken at some point, no doubt. Building for God's glory, that's a great thing. Building for your own glory is a mistake. It'll never be secure. You'll always be anxious if you build for your own glory. We've been working our way through the book of Genesis and this year, and not all year, and I mean, we're not that slow at going through the scriptures, but on and off. And so we've been in since the last couple of months or so in chapter 5 onwards. Genesis chapter 11 is presented as the high point, or low point, the high point of mankind's rebellion. So it's put here, but it can't be chronological. You can maybe just look just across the page. It comes up numerous times in chapter 10, but let me just read a couple of verses. Verse 20. These are the sons of Ham by their clans and languages. Oh, there was already different languages. Or verse 31. These are the sons of Shem by their clans and languages in their territories and nations. So chapter 11, it must have come before chapter 10, because there's only one language in chapter 11. But it's put here as a sort of example, exhibit A. This is the worst example thus far of humanity, post the fall, proudly rejecting God, delighting in it. And after Genesis chapter 3, humanity's fall and the flood, where God wipes out the wickedness of mankind, you get to chapter 11, and humanity is trying to invade heaven by building up to it. Chapter 12, we'll get to at some point. But this is the last one in this series. God has a new plan. I mean, for humanity. Always been his plan. That there would be a nation descended from Abraham, from which would come one, a Messiah. But at this point, and what we're looking at this evening then is chapter 11, the Tower of Babel is presented as a sort of climactic expression of human pride. We'll look at it a bit like this. 2 points on the text and 2 words of application. I've changed the little outline, but it goes a bit like this. We'll look at the text. Humanity builds for itself. It's fairly obvious, verses 1 to 4. The Lord scatters humanity, verses 5 to 11, and 5 to 9, rather. And then 2 little things by way of application. First, and we'll spend most of our time here, to be honest, humanity builds for itself. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech, literally one lip and one word. And so people understood one another. One lip and one word. There's no confusion. No cultural faux pas. No, at a sort of banal level, your American colleague coming into the office and saying, do you like my new pants? Wildly inappropriate. Or we get those things. More common, perhaps, is a sort of cross-generational confusion. So someone said to me this week, and I needed a translator, he is so thirsty, and that is no cap. And I found a translator, and one or two others will need to know that means they're very attention-seeking, and that's not a lie. The school teachers sort of know that, and maybe one or two of you know that. So that's your patois. And you can be a translator for me in the future. But none of that, because there's one language and one lip. So perfect understanding, perfect communication. There is a problem, though. They're moving eastward. And east is bad. Where in Genesis, when Adam and Eve are kicked out of the garden, they're kicked out east. So east of Eden is bad, because Eden is where God dwells, representatively, covenantally. So if, when you go east, you're getting further and further away from him and from his blessing. So east of Eden, bad. East London, bad. No. East of Eden, east of... cheap gag, ignore. East of Eden, bad. They're moving eastward. They're moving away from God, away from the place of blessing. And the other problem in verse 2 is they find a plain in Shinar and they settle there. They're not meant to do that. Chapter 1, verse 28, at the beginning of Genesis, God had said, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. Go out. After the floods, chapter 9, verse 1, he says the same thing. Go out. Spread across the earth. Subdue it. Conquer it. Fill it. Make it useful. And they say, no, we want to stay here, thanks. We like Shinar, staying in the plain. So this is not good. It doesn't start well. They say to one another, verse 3, they say a couple of things, but first of all, they say one another, I think a neutral comment, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Well, I think that's neutral and just is a reminder that humanity is very impressive. Our ability is extraordinary. Our achievements, phenomenal. We are the pinnacle of God's creation on this planet. We have split the atom. We've split the atom. We've been to the moon. Amazing. Phenomenal achievements. The technological, the medical advances over the centuries, just extraordinary. And we just take so many of them for granted. This week I'm going to speak at something in Australia, so I'm flying on an airplane. I'll be there in less than a day. That's bonkers. But we take it for granted. But a century ago, that was nuts to think you might do such a thing. I mean, still a bit nuts. It's winter over there, and they've got all sorts of things. Nasty animals. But humanity's creative power is extraordinary. The problem is we use it to build for ourselves and rather than building for God's glory. So verse 4, and here's the problem. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'd be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Let's build, one, a city, and two, with a tower that reaches to the heavens. Now, the cities at this time, they're very small cities thousands of years ago. The towers, we've got some sort of archaeological data, they're amazing. Thousands of years ago, 5,000 at least years ago, they're building towers. They're 30 stories tall. I mean, that's still a good building, even today. Amazing achievement that they could do such a thing with bases about a 40 meter square. Very impressive. Nothing wrong with building, but it's their motive that's the problem. So verse 4 again, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. Why? So that we make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. the Lord is not against the construction industry. You can take all sorts of tools. Tools are neutral, but how are you going to use them? You could buy a screwdriver and use it to dismantle a chair or construct a chair or to stab someone. You can split an atom and you can use it to generate energy or for utter devastation. How do you use the technology is the issue. And here the problem is with their motives. Pride, let's build a tower. Fear, let's build a city. Take those in turn. Pride then, let us make a name for ourselves. You get it twice, just there in verse 4. Build for ourselves. They're not building up just to say hello to God. There's a sense in which they're trying to invade heaven. They want a tower that reaches into the heavens. In the mindset of Genesis, it's like an invasion. We will achieve. We will make for ourselves a great name. There's something timeless in that. Actually, just building things. There's something, people like building things, and people like building towers and slapping their name on them. There's some obvious examples. It's a cheap shot, I know. But some people love to build a tower and slapping their name on it. Or a few years ago in the UK, Alan de Botton, you know, the atheist philosopher, said we're going to have atheist black towers in every city in London. Sorry, every city in the UK, starting in London. Again, there was something like a 30-story tower made out of stone quarried from different archaeological eras of history. It's a celebration of humanity. And everyone said, like a black tower in every city. It's like Mordor. That's a terrible idea. And so nothing ever happened. Or Burj Khalifa, you know, Tower Khalifa. And some will, of course, know. It was originally meant to be called Burj Dubai and Dubai's crowning glory, but they ran out of money and got into financial trouble, had to get bailed out by their big brother, Abu Dhabi. And the ruler of Abu Dhabi said, your prestige project, my name on it. He's Mr. Khalifa, essentially. My name on it. And so, as all the expats refer to it, it's the largest one-finger salute in the world. Well done, Dubai. My name. My name, says the ruler of Abu Dhabi. Names. We like to name things. Don't we? Do still like to do that. But you don't have to literally build a tower. You don't have to go and buy a load of bricks from Jewson's tomorrow to fulfill this, or Lego if you're less ambitious. Most people in our city are building for themselves, building careers for themselves, building social media profiles for themselves, in some sense trying to satisfy longings by constructing for themselves, spiritual longings, financial longings. I'm going to build for me, and I will achieve, and I will have a name. I will do this. There's something timeless about that. I always enjoy the scenario they had in ancient Rome when a great general would conquer whatever, Gaul, and or whatever it may be, and be given a triumph. You're allowed a triumphal procession. So there you'd parade through the streets of Rome. You'd be on your chariot in all your glory, having polished your armor, and you'd carry with you the wealth that you'd taken and all the slaves that you'd captured, and all your soldiers would march, and you'd be fêted by the crowds. Hooray, hooray, hooray. The original sort of ticker tape parade. Hooray, 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 hooray. But always on the chariot, next to the conquering general, was a slave, constantly whispering, memento mori, memento mori. Remember you're mortal. You will die. Memento mori. You're just a mortal man. Remember, this will pass. You are not a god. Memento mori. So there's something timeless. We just need reminding. You and I, we ain't that great. You and I, we are passing through. And if we try and just build a name for ourselves, it cannot last. So there's pride involved in this construction, and also fear. So they want to build a city in the plain of Shinar so that they're not scattered. But as I said, their desire to all stay together in the plain of Shinar, that is disobeying God. God had said, go out and fill the earth, spread across the earth, make good use of the earth, take the fertile land and grow stuff all over the earth. And they said, no, we like it here. We're comfortable here. I mean, who knows what's out there? We know what's here. And if we build a wall here, we're safe here. We like it here. We're comfortable here. If we go out there, well, we'll have to trust you. If we're here, we can trust ourselves and just build a wall, build a city, and protect us. They're scared of being vulnerable. We can feel that way very easily. There's something about sticking with the crowd that's timeless. You know, every generation, every gang has its dress code, and you don't want to step outside of it too much. Look, I walk around the streets of Mayfair in midweek, and basically there's two broad trades in Mayfair, if you haven't clocked it, surveying and sort of private finance. And the surveyors, they all wear their suits with no tie. Don't wear a tie. Not anymore. But they all wear their suits, and that's fine. And you know that they're surveyors because that's what they wear. And those in finance, they all wear their T-shirts and cashmere jumpers. And you know who they are because they all wear exactly the same. Hey, you're doing really well, yeah. You got lots of money, yeah. Why do you dress the same as everyone else? But everyone does it. It's the teenager wanting to have precisely the same label as all their friends, otherwise they stand out. There's something we like, the herd mentality. But crucially, they're wanting to build this wall because they're refusing to trust God. I want to live on my terms. If I stay in the plain of Shinar, I'm in control. Now that is very, very human. Even for those of us who are Christians. Lord, I'll serve you, but on my terms. I'll serve you in a comfortable bubble. I'll serve you, but I ain't going there. And I'll serve you, but I'm not taking a risk. I'll serve you if I can do so in ways that are comfortable for me, that are within my range, but I'm not going out there. Then I'll have to trust you. I'm not taking risks with my career choices, with my finances, and I'm not doing that, because then I'll have to trust you. I just want to stay safe. I just want to build a wall, a city, because I'm a bit scared if I can't be in control. That's timeless. So look, there's the problem. Humanity builds for itself, and they do so because they're proud. Let's make a name for ourselves. We'll have a tower. They do so because they're scared. Let's have a wall around us and stick right here and not take any risks. More briefly, the Lord, there's a second little thing in the second half of the passage. The Lord then comes down and scatters humanity. Verse 5, but the Lord came down. Tangent, it's not the Lord is everywhere. He is technically omnipresent. He is in every place. The point here being, hey, they're building this tower up to the heavens and God has to come right down. It's a bit like being in an airplane looking out the window. Oh, what's that down there? I can barely make it out. What is it? Oh, it's London. Because everything's tiny when you're thousands of feet in the sky. In that sense, God comes down. And what's the issue? Verse 6, he says, if it's one people speaking the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down. Let us, Trinity, Father, Son, Spirit, mirroring the let us of the people, let us go down and confuse their language so that they'll not understand each other. What's the problem? Well, humanity cooperating together has made an attempt to replace God, so he confuses their language. Is he overreacting? No, we're creatures. He's the creator. He knows what is best for the human race. He's made a whole world and says, go and spread out and conquer it and subdue it. Don't just stay there. Trust me, that will be good for you. And so he scatters them and spreads them across so that they're scattered and confuses their language. So in the end, humanity is forced to spread out across the planet as God had originally designed them to do. The outcome? Well, mankind had wanted a name, and the name it gets is Babel. Confusion. That's their name. Two things to take away, I think, from Genesis 11. One, humanity loves Babel still, and two, unity is found at the cross. Humans still love Babel. You take it from here, and Babel becomes a sort of shorthand or cipher for mankind's rebellion. So becomes Babylon, and whenever you see Babylon in the scriptures, it's a sort of high point of rebellion against the Lord. So to give you a couple of examples, in Isaiah chapter 14, the king of Babylon says, "I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will make myself like the Most High. I'll invade heaven like they did in Babel. I am Burj Khalifa." He doesn't say that in Isaiah 14. Revelation, recurrently, at the end of history, Revelation 14, 16, 18, you get the refrain, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon, never to be found again." Rebellion against the Lord, fallen, 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 recurrently in the book of Revelation. But humanity loves Babel. We still all have within us the tendency towards pride. I want to make a name for myself. Fear. I just want to keep myself safe. I don't mind the Christian faith on my terms. I don't mind following Jesus on my terms. We all have that tendency. We can all tend towards building our own towers. It may be less obviously collectively. Often it's building our own towers individually, personally, these days. And you know that. Every workplace lives in the shadow of Babel. In your office, there are colleagues who are busy building their own careers, viewing others as rivals. Lots of marriages live in the shadow of Babel. Husbands and wives becoming competitors, wanting their own name to come first. Now, to clarify, there is nothing wrong with building. And there's nothing wrong with cooperating, seeking security in joint enterprises, sharing risk and insurance schemes, whatever you want to do, pooling resources as a nation, having a police force and an army. All good, all good, all good. Motive is the question of Genesis 11. Are you building for your name, or are you building for God's glory? That's the issue in Genesis chapter 11. Do you trust him, or do you trust yourself? And we need to realize that when we're building for ourselves, when we're trying to make a name for ourselves, we'll always be a bit scared, because it can all go wrong and it all rests upon us. It's a very insecure place to be, to build a name for yourself. And we live in a world where, when the nations are trying to build for themselves, it's a very insecure place. Years ago, JFK, famously, 1962, it's a brilliant speech, always worth reading, the inspirational speech, "We Choose to Go to the Moon," in 1962. And, I mean, amazingly, within 7 years, they'd got there. I mean, just extraordinary, extraordinary achievement. And if you want a good podcast, 15 Minutes to the Moon, it's amazing, I think, as a podcast, a little series. That's a complete tangent. But 1962, JFK observed about going to the moon. "There is no strife, no prejudice, no national conflict in outer space yet. Its hazards are hostile to all nations. Its conquest deserves the best of all mankind. It's an opportunity for peaceful cooperation we may never have again." And then you get a space race and a rivalry taking over and competition. And now that's just more acute than ever, different nations trying to make sure their satellites are placed in the most strategic place to shoot down other things in space and rival. Let's cooperate in this new venture. Oh, yes, it's a beautiful speech and it's a great idea, but it doesn't happen because nations are wanting to build for themselves, not cooperate. Humanity loves Babel, but we still live in its shadow. So last, unity. Unity is found at the cross. How can we ever achieve peace in this world? Some people get really obsessed with Genesis 11, by the way, and think it denounces the UN. The UN is really bad. I think that's a sort of very strange reading of Genesis 11. Lots that the UN achieves is very good, but it is really limited, right? So no sanctions agreed on anything to do with the war in Ukraine because, well, Russia sits on the Security Council and they're not going to vote for that. No consensus about how the UN should respond to Israel and Gaza because our countries have their own interest. Thank you very much. The nations are building for themselves. Extraordinarily, in the 50s, the second Secretary General of the United Nations was a Swedish man called Dag Hammarskjöld. I'm sure I pronounced his name appallingly. But Dag Hammarskjöld. And the question was put to him, do you think the United Nations will ever bring the world together in peaceful cooperation? And he said, no. The cross of Christ is the only place where the nations can be united. I mean, I think it was quite a brave thing to say then. I don't think you get away with that now. But the cross of Christ is the only place where the nations can be united. Why? Because, as we'll say in a moment, sing in a moment, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count as loss and pour contempt on all my pride. I don't want to build a name for myself. I want to cooperate with everyone in building a name for him, for Jesus. And if I'm cooperating in building a name for him, I'm not scared. I mean, let's work together. Hey, church, let's work together to build up the name of Jesus. But what if it doesn't work? What if things go wrong? It's okay. He's sovereign, and he's got each and every one of you. He'll get you all the way to heaven. Don't you worry about that. There's nothing to be fearful of in that regard anymore. When you build a name for yourself, it's very insecure ground. When you come together and say, let's build up Jesus' name, you can't lose. You cannot lose. You may not achieve everything you want for Jesus' sake. But as Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 15, do not grow weary in your work for the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. It lasts into eternity. So don't be afraid. Whatever you achieve, it is forever. It's very different. You try and build a name for yourself, very insecure. You try and build up the kingdom of Jesus, it's safe. And you are secure in him. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count as loss and poor contempt and all my pride. Those are easy words to sing. But when we do it, and when we say, that's right, I genuinely believe that, and I don't want to build up my name. I want to contribute all my resources, all my gifts, all my time, all my talents to building up his name. You cannot lose, and you have no reason to fear. Let's pray together. Our great God and Father, here's a vivid story. We get it. We may not personally be involved in building big towers, but people love to do it still, and they're glory projects. But Father, we build little towers. We want to achieve a name for ourselves. We want to be known in our offices, online, in social media. And that is a very insecure place because it can easily come falling down. Father, will we be those who know the wonder, the joy, the security that Jesus has died in our place? Our future in heaven is absolutely secure. And therefore, building for him lasts. Building for him is success. Building for your glory lasts forever. Would we be involved in that work, we pray? In Jesus' name, amen.